Hello all, and welcome to another episode of Your One Black Friend. I am your hostess, Jolie. This will be part two of the series. It's a two-part series, so this is the last part. How success kills creativity and what you can do about it. If you have not had a chance yet to go and check out part one, what are you waiting for? It's on YouTube. It's all over the podcasts, everywhere. Spotify, Apple, Google, go check it out. Go check it out. I know you guys are busy doing stuff, but this is important stuff that I think you'll get a lot out of by listening to it. And if you had or have had a chance to check it out, thank you for staying on top of it. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for following, and thank you for listening. So without further ado, we're going to jump right into it. Part two, how success kills creativity and what we can do about it. So you're going to probably see me looking down on notes. I'm actually probably going to look and actually just straight up read from my notes because I don't want to forget anything. I wanted this episode to be really concise and condensed. I had a discussion with my friend, the author, shout out to author, about part one, what was discussed in part one. And in our discussions, a lot of like cool stuff came up. So I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and kind of read it verbatim somewhat, or at least discuss about it. You know how you just have a really cool conversation with a person, and like as you're talking, you're like, yeah, this is cool, this works. So we were brainstorming on some courses that we will be offering or working on, we'll see, towards the end of the year. And I was just talking to him about what we were discussing in the first episode of this series. And I just wanted to share with you guys what came up. Normally, this was before I started like filming, I would just sit and record. You guys would not see me, you know, looking at notes, whatever. But at the end of the day, what I told myself was it doesn't really matter. It's the ideas to get out, not necessarily the presentation. So if you have a problem with me reading off notes, then stop watching, I guess. For those of you who actually want the information that's being discussed, that's what we're going to do. So let's talk about part one. What I said, while you're striving towards success, you don't have success, but you have all of the ideas that you're going to need that will make you successful. Right? Like, obviously, you're not doing the things that you're doing right now because you don't think you're going to be successful. At some point, unless you quit, you should be successful. It's a matter of when that's going to happen. And so what we're going to be discussing in this episode is, how do you use time? How do you hack time? How do you hack the matrix? How do you hack the simulation and use it effectively? You don't see a lot of people doing this. You don't see a lot of people talking about working in tandem with your future self, working as a partnership with your future self, with all versions of yourself, actually, to achieve goals for all versions of you. So that's what we're going to be talking about here. It's a bit trippy. It requires kind of an understanding of an abstract, nonlinear flow of time. I look up really quickly the 40 block universe theory, but it basically says that all versions of yourself exist simultaneously right now. Right, so if you believe in time travel, if you watch a movie on time travel and it doesn't make you feel uncomfortable, then you have to acknowledge that in order to travel to the future, there has to be a version of you in the future to travel to. So we're taking those sort of concepts and we're building a philosophy of success around it. I know, fun stuff. Who else is talking about this stuff? Right, just me and you guys as well. So this is fun, trippy, mind-expanding, and thought-provoking. All right, back to the notes, right? While you're striving towards success, you don't have success, but you do have all of the ideas that will eventually make you successful. But then once you become successful, you can no longer generate the ideas. Well, because now you have limited bandwidth to think about ideas. For example, everything that comes with success kind of now takes away from your generation of ideas. Does that make sense? All right, when you're trying to make it, all your focus, all your time, all your energy is just, I've got to put my best self out there. I got to show people what I can do, right? I got to show people how creative I am. I can, like, you're showing off. Like, you're just like, I got to do what I need to do to make it. Once you become successful, as the notorious, was it B.I.G. said or Tupac, more money, more problems. So that's what happens. So then you get more money. And then the focus shifts away from this drive, this passion to create, and it becomes more about paying your manager, right? You know, your assistant, your agent, boat tours, all this stuff. So all of the things that come with success start then bogging your mind down it's a bit of a paradox, right? All of the things that come with success that you didn't have when you have when you were striving towards success, then mentally take away from you. They take away the mental space that you had, that you were dedicating to becoming creative. They say that as, you know, like, I think they say that like a person's best work, or it's been shown that they're most creative, I think between like the 20s and their 30s and maybe their 40s. I have a problem with that. I fundamentally disagree. I think they've shown in studies that the brain is actually plastic, like it's neuroplasticity is what the word is, not actually, like it's not literally plastic, but neuroplasticity, it adapts. The problem is that a lot of the time it takes that much time to become successful. So you'll look at an author's work and they'll say things like, well, they were actually very prolific in their 20s and 30s. And then once they became successful, they didn't create stuff like they were creating when in their 20s and their 30s. And it's like, yeah, that's not because their brain became less capable of creating stuff. It's because they were busting their ass trying to prove that they were successful. So they were busy generating as much content, as much product as possible because they were trying to make it. Once they made it, once they established a reputation, then different factors come in. So now it's not a matter of just, okay, I got to prove that I know what I'm talking about. Because once you've achieved success, you've proven that you can be a good actor, this, any other. Now it becomes less about working in your craft. There's very few people that do that. There's very few people who could say, I'm going to focus still once I've achieved financial success. And quick sidebar on the first video, a lovely lady, I don't know her actual name, but I think her username was like Dolphin something or another. She commented, she was like, I think when you create a product, when you create something creative, when you finish a creative work, that is success. And I absolutely agree. And I thank her for pointing that out. But what I mean when I'm discussing here is more fiscal success, how a capitalistic society defines success, right? Either it's fame or it's notoriety or money or whatever. Then that level of success, right? And what comes with that. So when you hit that level, then things like fear creep in, right? Because then you start thinking, well, I don't want to, if I've tried all of these things and this thing made me successful, so I'm just going to keep doing this thing because this is what made me successful, right? Except the problem is that it's not that thing that made you successful. People don't realize that. It was actually you trying all of these things that made you successful. And then it was just one thing that kind of blew up, but that doesn't mean you just keep doing that one thing over and over again. That's not what happened. That's actually a correlation fallacy, right? You saw a correlation. It's like Apple. They did all of this stuff. They were like just constant. I keep picking on Apple. I'm going to pick on Apple and Kevin Hart a lot in this series. It's not personal. It just need examples. But they would sort of like Apple did all of this stuff. And a lot of their ads are really cool and very innovative and kind of fun. And you could tell that they were like different minds kind of playing with different things. And then they struck it big with the iPhone. And then they just kept doing that. And that they've not did because they're like, well, I guess we've made money doing this. And we don't really want to do anything else. This is what has now worked for us. So we'll just keep doing this for fucking ever. Right. And a lot of people make that mistake. It's not that one thing. It's just that was the kind of the straw that kind of broke the camel's back, right? It's almost like my video. So I had I've had several videos that went really viral on like TikTok. But imagine if it was like, I think one for sure that was like really big was a video I did on quantum immortality. Now imagine if from then on, all I talked about was quantum immortality. That would stagnate me as a creator. I don't want to talk about the same thing over and over again. But imagine if I took the fact that based on some random algorithm, which we've discussed that it's not even an algorithm, it's actually their people. They're people behind the scenes who work for TikTok, who they decide they like a video, and then based on certain criteria, they'll push a video. It's just one person. One person decided that's what works. And so they pushed that video, and then it blew up. It became viral. But imagine if I had this sort of like correlation fallacy where I was like, no, people really like that video because I was talking about quantum immortality. So all I'm going to talk about forever now is quantum immortality. I'd be doing myself a disservice. I wouldn't be able to talk about cool stuff like what we're talking about right now. So you have to be mindful of that. It's not just the one thing that makes a person successful. If I attributed success as a video going viral, well, that one video has really, it's like just a fraction of what I talk about. That was just more of a fluke. all of these things is what made me generate that one video. It's not that video itself. So to focus on the topic of that video, I would be doing myself a disservice. But you see people do that time and time again. So the purpose of this video is to stop you from doing that on your way to success. Right. So I want you to take advantage of this knowledge, right? Fear and complacency will kick in for the most part for most people once they attain success, right? So you aren't striving for success just because for no reason. Like, you're striving for success because you do believe, at least on some level, that you will eventually achieve it. So why not work in tandem with your future self to create a state of balance, in the sense of your future self will be the one that's sort of enjoying the success, and then your present self is the one that's creating the content that will, that your future self will benefit from. But could you create a partnership through space-time where you and yourself, you and your future self, are working together, like your past self or your present is or becomes your own sort of virtual, your own virtual creative director, your own virtual assistant? You form a partnership with your own future self. Can you intentionally, let me write that down, intentionally, I need titles, form, oh, you have a tap title. I'm still gonna write it down. Partnership with your future self. That's what I'm here for, guys. Just here, muse vibes. Here to give you guys ideas. Okay, bullet point two. You have to think of the future self that exists right now. All right, so we talk about 40 Black Universe all the time happening right now, and how to take advantage of that. How do you take advantage of the fact that we are living in a 40 Black Universe and that your future self exists right now? How can you hack the matrix in order to take advantage of the fact that there is this success creativity paradox that occurs? And so what are the steps you can take right now to sort of like bypass that, to make sure that when you achieve success, you maintain success? All right, so I want you to conceptualize a future version of yourself right now, right? And appreciate the relationship between the two that occurs. So right now, you don't have the success. I'm talking about financial success, right? Right now, you don't have financial success, or at least not as financially successful as you want to, or you don't have the exposure or the visibility, right? Depends on how you define success. But you do have the ideas, right? Once you become successful, the opportunity cost that comes with being successful is that you'll no longer have the ability to generate ideas of the same caliber as when you were first trying to make it. Right now, as you right now, you are your most creative self right now. Well, the closer you get to success, the less creative you'll actually become. Think about it like that. So you today are your most creative self. Get to work. I was like, I need to go fucking paint. I need to paint and write my ass off, because like that was, it's even a wake up call to me. Like, a lot of these sort of thoughts are like me or my future self talking to me to be like, hey, stop worrying about making it. You need to be creating, because the making it is in the future. You're wasting time. You need to be creating right now. I don't know if I mentioned Einstein, but it's worth repeating. If I didn't, then here it is. It is said that he was most prolific, had his best ideas in his 20s. And the implication there is that he couldn't innovate or think on that level once he got older. But the issue isn't that. It's just that he, once he got older, had a reputation. He's a human being. And so he had to maintain a reputation. So he could just be saying wild shit. He had nothing to lose at his 20s. He didn't have a reputation. He was trying to get, you know, he was trying to make it. And once he had a reputation, all of a sudden, like, he had to be more cautious of the things that he talks about. You see the same thing with Kevin Hart. When he didn't have, like, anything to lose, and all the shit he was talking about was just, like, I mean, some of the stuff he was talking about was reckless. But that was what made him hilarious. Like, I love some of his older stuff. But there's a lot of stuff that he can't say now because he's got a mortgage and a manager and a wife and child support and all this stuff. So you move a bit more cautiously. It's not that the mind diminishes in any way. And so I don't want people to have that idea, because then you start thinking, oh my gosh, like, as I get older, like, am I going to become less creative? No, you don't become less creative. You just have more to lose. I'm thinking about, like, saying reckless shit and all the shit that I said at the beginning. If you go back and listen to one of my favorite episodes of my own podcast, is Carrot on a Stick Bullshit. I think it's like 2017 or 2018. I went back and listened to it. I was saying some wild and flagrant shit. I did not give a fuck. And I was hilarious. It's hilarious. I still leave it up. But it's like you just, as you kind of move up, you go, okay, maybe I shouldn't be saying shit like this. Some of my older episodes, and I've still left them up, knowing that maybe I might, there's a version of myself that's going to get in trouble. But I would just say like reckless shit. And I feel like 5-10 years from now, I probably wouldn't be able to say the things that I was saying back then. Right? You just, it's, you know, part of it is maturity, but the other part of it is also understanding, like, you, as you build up something, there's more to lose. So I'm being a bit harsh on Apple and I'm being a bit harsh on Kevin Hart. The fact of the matter is, it's less that they're not, that they're less creative. It's just that they're being more cautious because there is less, there's more to lose. So be mindful of that in your creative process. It's not just also that there's more to lose. It's just because they also pigeonhole into, this is what works, so I'm just going to keep doing that shit because it's less reckless. You become more fearful, right? So that is worth, you know, keeping in mind as well. So you want to work in tandem with your future self. So I wrote, apply this mindset to a corporation. At the launch of a business, right, in addition to pursuit of profitability, one thing that people don't discuss at the start of a business is, how can I generate a pool of ideas to be generated, right? So that once we become successful, we have a pool of ideas to continue to pull for, so that we can pull from, rather, so we can continue to innovate. That's not discussed. I hope I'm recording this. Hold on. It is recording. A panic attack. Right now, just seeing fear in my eyes on YouTube. The little recording thing was like not on. That's all good. I like my hair like this. I just changed my hair. Anyway, right, back to notes. In order to counter, for those of you, like, go watch my YouTube, subscribe to my channel. I changed my hair, it's curly now. In order to counter complacency that arises once you become successful, in order to counter that fear, right, record all of your ideas right now. Create all the shit right now. Like a mad person, like just go for it. Just even bad ideas, stuff that you think is, well, just put it out, journal it, record it, use technology, film it, whatever it is, write it all down. Just everything that comes to you while you've got the mental space. This will allow you to compensate for the lack or loss of creativity that is a consequence of success. Once again, this will allow you to compensate for the lack of creativity that is a consequence of success. You can also train your employees. This is once again for business owners, entrepreneurs as well. You can also train your employees to keep things small, keep things scrappy, no matter how big you are. They can just keep them thinking like, okay, we've got to keep making ideas. Like have even like a special sort of team that's their job. They just keep thinking like, okay, if we were small, what would we do? All right, this is for corporations. Maybe you could also do the same thing on a smaller level for a small business as well, right? Use the rules of reality itself and then hack it. Yeah, good stuff. All right, so prepare for what to do once you're successful, once your business is successful, and then start recording the ideas. I just say that already. Let's take aging, for example. So when I had this conversation with an author, the first thing he talked about was how he wants to be prepared for when he gets older, right? So he's noticed that women live longer than men. So he started thinking, okay, well, why is that? He wasn't just like, okay, I guess I'll just accept that. He decided, he made a conscious choice in the present. Okay, I want my future self to be healthy so that obviously I can live longer, and not just living long, because you don't want to be living long and still like suffering, right? You want to live long and have a healthy body. So he asked himself, why do women live longer than, and now he's taking steps now to become healthy and fit so that when he reaches a particular age, he's healthy and fit, right? Because when you're 80 is not the time for you to be trying to be healthy, just like when you're successful is not the time for you to be trying to generate new ideas. You have to make sure that the things you're doing now on your road to 80 or on your road to success, you're tuning your mind, right? So that you can innovate, so that you can create, so that you are healthy, to draw parallels, that you're eating well, that you're exercising, you're maintaining your flexibility. Once again, this requires you to intentionally work in tandem with your future self, with all versions of yourself throughout time, so that you ultimately have a successful business and maintain a successful business, and also to have a healthy life and maintain a healthy body to the best of your ability. I mean, there's just shit that happens that you cannot control. That's just life. But if there are things that you can control, then you should. Now. Because asking what can I do now will make you okay in the future. People who are eating unhealthy, people who are drinking alcohol, people who are smoking or vaping or consuming copious amounts of drugs, because you're not dealing with consequences of it right now. I said this in the last video, but it bears repeating. It does not mean that you will live consequence-free. And so you, once again, once you consider all versions of yourself, you might not have an immediate reaction to the things that you're doing right now, maybe beyond a cough or a hangover, but you keep doing that, you are setting the stage for a future version of yourself to fail. I'm pausing for you guys to sort of let that sink in. If that's who you are, years from now, there is a future version of yourself that's dealing with or enjoying the results of the choices that you're making right now. So back to success. What can you be doing now to make sure that you enjoy and maintain your success in the future? Success has a way of shifting your focus from how can I be creative? What can I create? How can I innovate? To how can I make more money? Everyone's victim. Well, not everyone. I don't like to speak in absolutes, but you could see this happening. I talked about Apple. You see this with corporations and businesses, right? Not to pick on Kevin Hart, but there was an interview he did where he was talking about how when he wakes up, he gets up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, he does all this training stuff. He's doing all this stuff to become successful, except that he's already successful. Like, I mean, he's doing very well for himself. But he doesn't seem to recognize that he's successful because his focus has shifted, not from, I just wanted to be, appreciated for my ability to make people laugh and my comedic wit and timing and things like that, and an exposition of genius that is often, seen in comedians. Comedians are very smart people, right? It's shifted without him realizing it, to making more money. And then you can almost see that he isn't even enjoying his success, because you're spending so much time doing all of these things, you don't really have time to actually enjoy. Like they said, he drives like 20 minutes in his like super fast car, but that's because he's driving to work. He's got a really nice car, but he can't just sit and enjoy the fruits of his labor because he's still chasing success. Except like, at any point in time, you can go, I'm already successful, and then you just go back. But people rarely seem to do that. Pablo Escobar, I've talked about this before. It was just kind of stuck with me. I was watching like Narcos a few years ago. I have to put it on. It's not something I actually actively chose to watch, in case you guys are like, what? Yeah, it's not me. But I passively get drawn into these shows that he watches. And you watch like Pablo Escobar was like successful, and then you saw the moment when it wasn't enough, and then he just started pursuing like more and more and more and more and more. And then you saw what ended up happening to him. But the same thing happens to not just criminal masterminds. Businesses do the same thing. Individuals do the same thing. It's not being able to recognize I am actually successful. I've reached a level of success where I'm happy in, and I'm just going to sit with that and focus on how do I just keep creating. It becomes more how do I keep making more money, or how do I get more power, right? And being mindful of that is very important, and be mindful of that right now. Remind yourself that, so that once you achieve success, you can maintain success, and it's not like, okay, I'm successful, and then like falls down, falls apart. Got to recognize these things as it's happening. All right, point six. I'm still on Kevin Hart. Okay, I would imagine that Kevin Hart's mind is now bogged down with paying a mortgage, paying his agent. I said this already. So he has less mental bandwidth. This is important. Because you get bogged down with all the stuff that comes with success, you have less mental bandwidth to assign to actually being funny, actually creating content, actually creating the content that made him funny in the first place and made him successful in the first place. If he had the mindset years ago to say, I'm going to be successful, so let me just write all of my stuff down now so that when I do become successful, I have inspiration and work to pull from to last my career. Because when I do reach that point, when I am successful, I will not have the mental space to do this. My mind will be occupied with more distractions from my actual creative work. He would be in a different position now. I'm not attacking Kevin Hart. It's more for illustrative purposes. So Kevin, if you're watching this, I don't even know you like that. I just try to make a point, right? But if this helps you, you are already successful. Like, enjoy your life and then go back and do your old stuff, you know? It's also like everybody's afraid of being canceled, but that's another thing. The key is to hack 4D time. You have more time in your hands when you're working towards success to create than you do when you're successful. So this is very important. Hire your past self. She'll get paid in the future. He'll get paid in the future. Hire them now. Hire them for their creativity. Hire them to be the creator that you will need in the future. Hire them to create as much stuff as possible for you while your present self or your past self has the mental space to do so. Because once you achieve success, you will not be able to hire people to do what you are doing now. Because only you can do what you are going to do to make it in the future. To go back to Kevin Hart, he can't hire people to write the content that he was working on and writing in his 20s and 30s. That's just not possible. Like, you can get a writer to kind of mimic it, but the authenticity is lost. The only person who could have written the stuff that inevitably made him famous was that version of himself in his 20s and 30s. So unless you have a time machine, which I've been working on, unless you have a time machine, what you have to do right now is hack reality. With this knowledge, you can effectively hack reality. You have to do what you need to do now in the present in order to help yourself maintain your success in the future. To avoid regrets, conceptualize all versions of yourself simultaneously. There will come a time that you will not have the time to do everything you're doing now. So use right now effectively to generate material for your future self. Yeah, I think I beat that horse today. So, like, no, the repetition is good, actually. Because that's how we learn. We take the idea and we shift it this, any other. But the overall concept is, you got to work. There is this dichotomy. There is a paradox that occurs. And it's worth paying attention to. It's worth noting. It's worth making yourself aware of it. And it is worth using that knowledge to basically help yourself in the future right now. I want to read something to you really quickly that I wrote. What's in my notes? It says, the term success creativity paradox refers to the apparent conflict or tension that can arise between success and creativity. While it is not a literal paradox in the strictest sense, it reflects the challenge that many individuals face when trying to balance the pursuit of success with the preservation of their creative abilities. Success often brings certain expectations, pressures, and routines that can inadvertently hinder the free-flowing nature of creativity. The focus on maintaining or replicating past success can lead to a fear of deviating from proven formulas or taking risks, which can stifle innovative thinking and fresh ideas. Therefore, the term paradox is used metaphorically to highlight the complex relationship between success and creativity. It is important to note that not everyone experiences this paradox in the same way, and there are individuals who manage to maintain their creativity even after achieving significant success. However, for many people, finding a balance between success and creativity can be a real challenge. So The purpose of this video is to help you find that balance in the future. I know it's kind of trippy, it's kind of out of tone. It requires a different type of thinking, right? Because we live in a society, despite what we know in theoretical physics, or what is then theorized for the black universe and the understanding that all time is happening right now, flow of time is an illusion, we still sort of largely operate in this sort of linear space. So I've said that desire and outcome are one. Most of the time, not always, if you have a desire for something, it's because you achieve it. And so I want you to move with that in mind. You can't just be like, okay, on my path to success, on the road to success. There's always people who tell you about that. There's countless videos, countless courses, countless whatever. Like, there's lots of information out there that tells people, you know, what to do on their path to success. There's not that many people who are talking about what happens at the destination, right? So if we're also focused on, like, let's say you're taking a trip, I'm going to London, right? If I'm just focused on, okay, I'm going to pack, rather than what I'm going to do once I get there, that's not a full trip. You don't want to just show up and then be like, I guess I'll fucking wing it, right? You need to make sure that you've got a hotel. You need to make sure that you have accommodations. What are you going to do once you get there? Otherwise, if you still focus on my journey, can the destination really be enjoyed properly once you get there? I feel like we are just so focused, our society focuses us on just what success is and success in one particular way. So to go back to what the lady had commented, Dolphin, what she'd said in the first video, series one, she said, well, success to her is defined in this way. Absolutely. So that is also worth noting. It's like, how do you define success? Because like I said, and mentioning Kevin Hart, he's still trying to be successful, even though he's achieved more fiscal success than most of us could probably dream of. And two, because a lot of his best content he's written a lot of his best stuff. Creatively, he's been successful. Financially, he's been successful. But there's still something that's driving him so that he doesn't realize that he's achieved, so that he can finally kind of settle in. It's interesting, as I'm talking about this, Johnny Depp. I saw an article a couple of months ago, and he said, like, he just wants to, like, retire to the English countryside. And in a way, it's kind of bittersweet, because it's like, you can kind of see all versions of him in this sort of, like, old man now, where it was just, his life was this constant striving, right? Of, I want to be a successful actor. All to just end up back, like, away from everything and everyone. What I want to achieve with this episode and the previous episode to the viewers, to help the viewer realize, is that don't get caught up in the striving. Enjoy the creative process, because that within itself is the success, right? If you can somehow create and enjoy generating, enjoy the creation, like I sit flanked with some of my favorite paintings, and I'm probably going to change them out the next few episodes, whatever. I've got loads of paintings because this is my philosophy. What I'm discussing to you guys in this episode and the one previous is my philosophy I'm creating right now. Yeah, do I sometimes, you know, have bad days where I succumb to the voice in my internal monologue that's like telling me, like, blah, 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 whatever. Of course, if I'm existing in this reality, I have the same internal monologue as you do. I have the same ego that wants to increase suffering because it increases the immersion of this game. So do I have self-doubt? Yes, I'm an artist. That comes with it. But ultimately, there's a quiet stillness that knows that it's going to be okay. All of this will not be for naught. I'm building up something. And that is, the something has already been achieved. This is just the journey. You just don't want to get caught up in this pursuit that you don't enjoy the creative process. I was watching Bridgerton and it was just fun. Actually, it wasn't Bridgerton. It was Queen Charlotte, about three episodes in. And it was great to see, because a lot of the, like, it's so reminiscent of my work that I've been doing for like a decade now. That was just nice. It was nice to kind of see the world finally reflecting the stuff that I created and painted. And so on some level, whether or not I have reached a certain level of notoriety or awareness, and people are aware of my work or my paintings, my art, go to joliartist.com. it's okay, but at least to me, there is a certain level of success because it's like now my work is reflected in reality, right? And it was created in the time when reality didn't, there was nothing to match that. So that to me, there's a certain level of success there, and I'm grateful for that, if that makes sense. So the purpose of all of this is to get you guys just thinking, just provoking thought, just generating ideas, just encouraging you to, hey, this is as creative as you're going to be. But when you do achieve success, what have you done now to help your future self maintain that level of success so that you are happy all the way through, right? To go back, take it back to Johnny Depp, it's if he was mindful, this is not a criticism, this is just once again using him as an example, nothing personal, but could he reimagine his life when he started out acting? Okay, who am I going to be when I decide to be done? What does my career look like, right? How will I move? Parts will I take and what parts won't I take? And really just, I will be successful in the way that I define success. And this is what my career is going to look like. And then where do I want to end up? And if he always wanted to end up in the countryside, then that's fine. But it just almost felt to me like it was more of like a retreat after everything that he had kind of gone through. And so can we move with that same mindfulness? And that's kind of what I'm talking about, but on a smaller scale. When I said in the last episode, for example, if a show like Rick and Morty, even if maybe like when they were generating episodes for the first and second season, if they were just pumping out, they didn't just write for the first and second season, they were just writing stuff. Then as like the seasons progressed, they had content that was written with when their minds were hungry and they wanted to be known. Because now that they are known, the content's different and it's not quite as like impactful and meaningful. I don't watch it really anymore, fortunately, because I feel like it's just gone off somewhere that I don't understand, right? But if they had written as much as they could when the show first started, before people really knew about it, before it blew up, then that longevity, like the content that they would have created in season 4 and, you know, in 3 and stuff like that, it would still be like authentic to what made them famous in the first place. So that makes sense. Same thing with Game of Thrones, although slightly different because I guess they were at the mercy of George R.R. Martin and they thought he'd be done with the book. But if when they first started, they were just generating as much storylines as possible while they were as widely known, the mindset, your mind is different. Your mind changes every day. It does. So when you're striving towards something, your mind is different than a person that has achieved it. It's just facts, right? It's like a time machine. If I go back a year to speak to Joe a year ago, or I go and watch a video from a year ago today, like my mindset would be different. It's just because experience changes your mind. So what I would have written a year ago, I can't write now. I have short stories that I never finished and I won't be able to finish. And I should have finished when I started it because the mind that I had, there was like one summer I binged a bunch of Stephen King books, but it allowed me to write in his style. And I should have finished a lot of stories at that time once my mind was like tuned in that way to write in that style. But I didn't finish it. And now I can't, I don't have that same mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why it's important? Like you're every day, it's a new version of you. Every day, every month is a new version of you. So the things that you're doing day to day, if you start a project, you need to finish it, right? And if you're in in a space where you're just like, I got to be creating, you need to create as much as possible. Because every day, every new experience will change your mind and change your brain so that it's still you, but it's a different version of you. And then that version of you that was able to generate things at this moment in space-time won't be there. It literally disappears. So you want to capture that. Like, I like to think about what what the Joe, when I first started The Dark Oracle's Guide to the Multiverse, or when I first started Your One Black Friend, what stories would that mind have written versus the stories that I'm writing now? There's even like you see like even my paintings. You can if you go to jellyartist.com, you see that there was a time I used to paint with primary colors. I can't paint in that way anymore. I literally cannot paint in that style anymore. And I wish I could have painted as much as possible in that style. I can't do that anymore. Same Joe, brain's different, can't. And there's going to come a time when all of these paintings you see around me, I won't be able to paint like that anymore. It'll be different. I'll be able to paint differently. And that's okay. It's an evolution. But keep that in mind that you have all of these variants of you. And they're just as important. They're just as meaningful. It's yes, it's one you, except every year, every month is a different version of you. That's powerful. If you can hold on to that you are a dynamic being, that there is like literally a myriad of you with different minds, different capabilities, different abilities. Every time I read a book, my brain changes. Every time. It's a new brain. You're constantly sort of, you're this dynamic person under the same umbrella of Joe. But dynamic, that is important. That is powerful. So if you can own that knowledge and then use it to your advantage, you're head and shoulders above the rest. All right. Shirt is from dressfordystopia.com. You can get to it by going to youronblackfriend.com. All of my links are there as well. Check out the bio and whatever it is you're listening to, or just go to youronblackfriend.com. But yes, this episode is sponsored by dressfordystopia.com. More designs coming soon, as always. And thank you for watching. Catch you guys on the next one.